many of you ready for the word?
Amen.
Hold up your Bibles. Let's say it. This is started the message series last week entitled The Benefit of Relationship. And inside a relationship with Jesus, you have certain things and you are certain things. Now, the list is long, and I could literally preach about this topic for years. I mean, I don't even know how long, but a long time. But I picked four what I felt were relevant to the day and time in which we live and the things going on in our culture and our society that I felt were relevant to the church today and things that you needed to know. There's a term used in church, in Christian churches all over the world. It's the term being in Christ. The term in Christ simply means that there's a day that you trusted in the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross, that you said yes to Christ, regardless of your age, regardless of your sex. If you said yes to Jesus, you're a child of God and you are in Christ. I can take you to the place, the exact spot where I made that decision. And I was at the corner of Highway 1088 and Highway 59 in Mandeville. And I was preparing to turn off of 1088 onto Highway 59 headed north when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to come follow me the rest of your life. And I made that choice. And when I made that right turn, my life was never the same. I hope you got a spot. I hope you got a spot that you can go back to, because every time the enemy reminds you of what you used to be, you can tell him, oh, yeah, you're right. Except there's a spot. And at that spot, I made a choice. And my choice was to follow Jesus the rest of my life. And now I'm in Christ. So what I used to be is no more. What did Kevin say? He dropped the charges. He expunged the record. In Christ, you have certain things and you are certain things because there are benefits to a relationship with Jesus. Last week I told you that you have, as part of this relationship, peace with God. Now, the peace with God is not just simply a life void of conflict or a life void of chaos. It is so much bigger than just that. Remember, a life of peace with God means that I have peace emotionally. I have peace spiritually with God, and I have peace physically, right? So we have peace in all those areas. That means I have wholeness, that I'm intact, that I am of well-being, prospering. Right? Those are all the things that are a part of being, having peace with God. Today, I want to talk to you about the fact that you have the rest of God. Anybody in here needs some rest? Okay, I'm like two of y'all. Maybe this is not a message for you. Let me ask a question. How many of you often feel as though life can't get any busier? You can't fit one more thing in the schedule. And if you try to, the wheels may fall off. So we got one admitting this is happening, and the rest of people in denial. There's a river over in Egypt. As part of the Old Testament law in the Ten Commandments, God sought fit to put this one commandment in the Ten that really just had to do with you resting. It's about keeping the Sabbath. He said, keep the Sabbath holy, honor the Sabbath, and keep it holy. In other words, I want you to honor this day off, honor this day of rest, and keep it holy. Why? Because you know what? He knew that if he didn't say it, you ain't going to do it. Yeah. Matter of fact, they give you, how many of you are off 2 days a week? Anybody off two, you're off Saturdays and Sundays, or whatever days you're off. How many of you take those days off? God wanted you to remember to work your six and rest on the seventh. Amen. When we live by this principle that God gave, we are imitating the act and actions of God himself. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Now, what's happening here in Genesis 2 is God had just finished creation, created all the earth and everything in it, and created mankind. And this is what he says. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had been doing. God's intentions for you and I were never to work ourselves to death. You're like, man, you're going to go to work tomorrow and say, my pastor said, I don't have to work myself to death. Listen, that's between you and your boss. I'm just telling you, God said you got to find a day to rest, and it ain't on Monday morning, unless your day off is Monday. I'll never forget, a few years ago, I was having a call with my ministry coach. I have a ministry coach. And guys, if you're in any type of leadership, you should have someone coaching you. And I coach people, but I have people coaching me, because we always need to be preparing to get better, right? My ministry coach challenged me on the phone one day. He said, Eddie, when's the last time that you were out of the pulpit, and when was the last time you had a vacation? And when he said that to me, that particular year, I had preached 48 of the 52 weeks. I was convicted that I had not taken enough time. And the 4 weeks that I did not preach, I was at the church, because I'm a control freak. I'm just going to be honest, right? I know I say I'm not, but I am. There it is. It's out there. And I had not been on a vacation that year. This past summer, we were asked to vacation with some friends and for 2 weeks. And I thought, my heart started palpitating when I began to think about being gone for 2 weeks. So we never go for 2 weeks, but I need to go for two. I know I need this, and we're going to go for 2 weeks. So we left on a Sunday after church, and we got to our destination. And when we got to our destination, I felt this sense of relief, and I felt this sense of peace and rest, and I realized I had been going pretty hard, because we were in the middle of this building project, and the building project had just come to an end. And then when we finished the building project, we were in the quarantine because of COVID, and now I'm having to switch gears and move from live services to online services and all that involved. And I want you to know, we were going at it pretty hard and not realizing that I was at the end of my rope. And we got on vacation. I went, I needed a vacation. I didn't even know I needed a vacation until I got on vacation. So for 2 weeks, you know what I did? Not much. Went to the beach, ate a lot, all the fun stuff. Because we need some rest. See, I had not been adhering to God's instructions on protecting the Sabbath and keeping it holy. You know, our staff here has a one day off, basically. We're off Mondays. We take Mondays off because many times we're doing things on Saturdays with men's breakfasts and different things like that. And so sometimes I do weddings on weekends and stuff. So many times our only day off is on a Monday. But I was actually scheduling things on Mondays with meetings and different things like that, because I had the day off. And it wasn't getting into my schedule the rest of the week. So I wasn't even honoring the one day off that I did have. So lately, since the vacation, Peggy goes, what are we doing tomorrow? And nothing. Not one thing. I don't have anything on my agenda. And so we just take the day off and we rest, because we need to rest. Now, I understand there will be times in your life when rest has to take a back seat because you're in the middle of a busy season. And we're all going to go through those times where we have to grind, where we get up and we grind day after day after day, because life's busy, right? You guys will happen. That'll happen for you guys in the spring. When the spring rolls around, Sandy and Tony will be like 7 days a week. I mean, all day, every day, go, 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 go. But they know it's temporary, right? And at the end of about 90 or 100 days, 120 days, things slow back down and they're able to get back into a routine of resting. But while they're in it, they get tired, right? Regardless of who you are, listen to me, regardless of who you are or how strong you think you are, you need rest. How many of you went on a vacation this year? Not even a third of you went on a vacation. So, y'all need a vacation. And I am free to go with you, I'm just saying. I mean, you may need some spiritual guidance while you're on vacation, you know? Especially if you're going to the Bahamas or something like that. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Let me share with you a popular story in Luke chapter 10 of two ladies who were hosting Jesus at their house. Luke 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." I love the Lord's response. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So often, we can find ourselves like poor Martha, trying to keep all the plates in life spinning. Well, I got the plate over here. My kids got to go to dance. My kids got to go to practice. My kids got to go here. My kids got to go there. They need money for this. They need money for that. I got to go to work. I got extra stuff I got to do at work. My wife is demanding time with me. And we're trying to keep all the plates spinning and driving ourselves crazy in the process. You've been there. Martha felt as though she needed to impress Jesus. "Look, Jesus, I'm doing all the work. Look, I'm getting into houses looking good for you. I got the good smelling potpourri out. I got the nicest plates out on the table. I'm fixing it up for you, Jesus." And that's what we do in our relationship with God so often, is we run around like a chicken with our head cut off trying to impress Jesus. "Look, Jesus, we're working hard for you." Now, Mary, on the other hand, was only concerned about Jesus. Imagine that, two people in the same room, two people grew up in the same household, two people saw the same situation from two completely different perspectives. You know, it happens all the time. One person knows Jesus and enters into a relationship with him by doing stuff in order to feel validated and worthy of the relationship. That's called religion. Let me jump through this spiritual hoop and that spiritual hoop and that spiritual hoop so maybe one day I'll feel good enough about myself to think maybe he'll accept me like I am. The other one understands who Jesus really is and wants nothing more than to just cherish the moments in his presence. In your relationship with Jesus, listen, you are never meant to work for it. You were created to rest in it. There's a time that Moses was preparing God's people to enter the promised land, giving them some final instructions. Let me share that with you this morning. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's all about the promise, all about promises. God promises us his rest. He doesn't want us working and striving to make it happen. Just let him follow him and he'll make it happen. That's what he says in Deuteronomy 6:5. Here's your instructions. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God, listen to this, read that again. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Into what? Into the promise that he swore to your fathers. A land with large flourishing cities, here it is, you didn't build, and houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Listen, God took the children of Israel out of slavery and brought them through the desert to a land they didn't own. They didn't build it, to stuff that was not theirs, to make it theirs, and to give them a future with him in his promise. And it's what he did for us. He took us out of slavery into his promise so that you can rest. You have as part and parcel of the relationship with Jesus, his rest. It's part of his promise. Listen, you have rest from work and you have rest from worry as part of the benefit of our relationship with Jesus. We have rest. Number one, on your handout, we have rest in his finished work. He said in Luke 10:41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Listen, quit jumping through religious hoops in order to feel as though you are worthy of a relationship with Jesus. This is the only spiritual hoop you ever need to jump through. Yes, Lord. Amen. The problem is it sounds so easy, and many people, religious people, go, that's too easy. That cannot be it. Oh, no, that's it. When Jesus hung on that cross, he spoke the word as right before he gave up his spirit, he said this, tetelestai. It is finished. I love that statement because he wasn't saying, hey, it's finished till tomorrow, until we see each other again. It's finished till next week or next year. It's finished once and for all. Quit jumping through the hoops. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul said, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Listen, you know, Jesus wants you to serve him, but he doesn't want you to serve him to be found right with him. He wants you to serve him because you are right with him. You see the difference? I don't serve him in order to be right. I serve him because I know I am right. You know, when you know that Jesus and you are good, it gives you a sense of peace. Then your service comes from a heart of gratitude, not a heart of worry. Oh, I wonder if we're good today. Can you imagine a relationship with God that you're not sure where you stand from day to day? Did I do enough yesterday to be okay with Jesus? Or did I mess up when I was driving and when I was in bad in traffic and saying bad things to those people in front of me and blowing my horn? And not that that ever happens to me. I'm just saying, you know. See, Mary knew who he was. And she understood what she had as a result of that relationship. And all she wanted to do was sit at his feet. And listen. You know, as part of my job as the pastor of this church, you know, there are days when I don't do a lot, physically do a lot. Now, people accuse me of working one day a week anyway. Now I'm about to let the cat out the bag. You know, there are days when I don't do a lot physically, but I do a lot spiritually. When I just have to sit and I listen. And I sit and I just connect with Jesus spirit to spirit. You know why? Because if I don't connect with Jesus spirit to spirit, I have nothing to say to you. I had a pastor that I knew many years ago. We're not friends anymore. He told me one time that one day he had prepared for church and he had nothing to say to my congregation. I was like, so what did you do? He said, well, after worship, I just got up and released them, told them they could go home. So how many came back next week? Not many. It was already a very small church. The point is that as a pastor, our responsibility is to hear from God so that you can hear from God, right? And to help you hear from God. So if I don't spend time, so people want to, what are you doing today? You know what I'm doing today? Me and Jesus, we're going to hang out. me and Jesus, we're going, I'm just going to sit in his presence and listen. I'm going to worship. I'm going to hear from him. So don't accuse me of doing nothing. That's hard work, by the way. It ain't lifting heavy stuff, but it is it's lifting some heavy stuff. You know, many times when I'm hearing from God, I'm hearing about the destiny, my destiny, and the destiny of new beginnings, but that involves you too. So if I don't hear him correctly, I could be steering you in the wrong direction. So imagine, how many of you ever heard that thing on your GPS go, make a safe and legal U-turn? Make a safe and legal U-turn. When you start hearing that from Jesus, you know, you've been the wrong way. Maybe I made a wrong turn. Make a safe and legal U-turn. Please, Jesus, don't ever tell me that. Busyness is not always a good thing when it comes to your relationship with God. Listen, he wants you to cancel the noise around you so that you can hear him. But with all this stuff going on, his voice gets muffled. It's still there, but you can't hear it, and you wonder where it is, and you're running, hoping to hear it, and you ain't stopping long enough to hear it. The point is, you got to rest in his finished work. Quit jumping through spiritual hoops. You know, he doesn't get the giggles watching you run around like a chicken with your head. Look at him trying to serve me. Look at him trying to serve me to get right. Isn't that funny? No, he's sad. That saddens the heart of God. He doesn't want you doing that. He paid the price so you don't have to. Yes. Number two, not only are we resting in his finished work, we're resting in his provision. Psalm 37, verse 23 through 25 says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. The word delights, as used in verse 23, is the Hebrew word shafetz, and it means desire. When we make Jesus our desire, What did you hear Carla and Kevin talk about priority? When he becomes the priority, the desire of your life, you know what starts to happen in your life? He makes sure you're supplied with all you need. Oh, you put me first? I'm putting you first. I'm going to give you more. Listen, around here, a few years ago, we started using this saying, look what God has done. You know what started to happen? Every time we would start to say, look what God has done, God would say, oh, you think that's good? Wait, I'll show you what's next. And now God gives us more things to brag about and more things to brag on him about, because he's a good God and he gives good gifts to his children. He amply supplies all we need. We need to learn. You need to learn to rest in his provision, right? Everyone that I know that takes delight in God, everyone I know that puts Jesus first, usually has all they need. Now, I tell you, we're not wealthy people by any stretch. But according to the world's population, we are. Actually, all of you are. But I want to tell you, we've never been without. And God always takes care of his children. Put him first. The problem is we don't put him first. He gets down third, fourth, fifth, sixth place. Maybe even not even break the top 10 sometimes, because we're so busy with other things. And we make other things our priority. Got to get your priorities straight, right? James 1:17 tells us every good and perfect gift is from above. When you understand that every good thing you have comes from God and you acknowledge God, he makes sure you have more great gifts. Who is your supplier? Is it you? If you are your supplier, then here's my words to you. Good luck. If God is your supplier, oh, I can't wait to see what he's going to do in your life. Number three, we need to learn to rest in his protection. There's a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. God had called the children of Israel together, Judah and Jerusalem together, to fight a battle. They were going to fight a battle with an army that was many, many times larger than their army. and they were afraid. This is what God does to them in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14. The Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph, and he stood in the assembly, and he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat." Imagine growing up with that name. "Hey, how you doing? I'm Jehoshaphat. How do you spell that?" "Never mind. Just call me Jay. Just call me Joe. Just call me Jeho. I mean, whatever, you know what I mean? Jehoshaphat. Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says." Listen, I want you to know, people of New Beginnings Church, this is what the Lord says to you today. Listen to these words. "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army." You say, "Well, I'm not facing an army." But what are you facing? Are you facing some marital problems? Are you facing some problems in your job? Are you facing some financial woes? Are you facing something else that is just too big for you to fight and you don't know what to do? He said, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army that stands in front of you." Look at the next line. "For the battle is not yours." I couldn't hear you. What did he say? "But God's," right? Tomorrow, listen to what he said, tomorrow. March 2. When we get to that point, we go, "Good, God, will you just go fight and leave me at home?" And this is what God says. No. Get up. Put on your battle garments. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up the pass at Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Juriel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Here's the word. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Listen, the people of God were called to go fight a battle that they probably would have lost because of the sheer vastness of the army that they were facing. They were outnumbered at least 10 to 1, and they didn't have a prayer when it came to being on paper, on strategy. They were going to lose this battle, but God tells them to go fight and reminds them of this fundamental truth. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Just go out and stand firm and trust me, and I'm going to fight this battle for you. You ever thought that the battle you're facing right now, God may be saying to you, go out and fight? Pay no attention to the size of your opponent or the wealth of your opponent. Oh, well, he's got way more than you, and there's no way you're going to win this battle. The odds are stacked against me. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Just go out and do what I told you to do and stand. And I'm going to be with you. Because it's not your battle. Child of God, you're never alone. Even when you're facing a giant. You know, having Jesus in your corner is like having the best big brother. How many of you grew up with a big brother? Not one that tortured you, but one that would torture all your friends. I'm the oldest, but I had a friend growing up who had a big brother that was a fighter. Like, nobody wanted to fight this guy. So my friend, I'm his friend, and he's my friend's brother. You don't want to mess with me, right? Because he'll whoop you. And that's like it's having Jesus in your corner. Like, when the enemy comes to fight, you just go, "Let's talk to my big brother." Ain't nobody want to fight that. The children of Israel never had to fight. They just watched as the enemy defeated themselves. You know, the cool part is after the battle was over and all the dead bodies, they went and picked up the spoils of war. It took them 3 days to pick up all the stuff. They went into a battle. They didn't have to fight and walked out with pockets full of stuff. Turn to Isaiah chapter 54. We're getting there. Isaiah 54, verse 14. "In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. Look at verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Listen, your enemies may be many, but they have no power over you, child of God. Rest in what he's done. Rest in how he provides, and rest in the way he protects. And finally, rest in his power. You know that Jesus, can you imagine being one of the 12, one of Jesus' disciples, and you watch the guy you've been following for 3 years go to a cross, die, get buried, and resurrect from the dead, and he's telling you, preparing you, I don't want you to go into all the world and tell him the good news about what I've done. And you're like, man, this is a monumental task. How in the world am I going to do this? You know, Jesus, I was a fisherman. I'm not prepared for this. I love what Jesus says to quench their fears. In Acts chapter 1, now Jesus is getting ready to go back to heaven. He's getting ready to leave. This is what he says to him. This is what he's saying to you today. For those of you who had ever been in a place where you weren't sure how you were going to accomplish what was in front of you, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Listen, the word power as used there in Acts 1:8 is the Greek word dunamis, and it means ability and abundance and meaning and might. How many of you ever faced something that you have never been a part of and wondered, how are you going to pull this off? Yes. Let's go back 10 years. You know, when I started New Beginnings, every day I would be like, God, I don't have what it takes. Matter of fact, God, you know, I read this book. It's called The Top 10 Mistakes of Church Planters. God, look at me. I'm such a mess up. I made all 10 mistakes and some more than once. You know what he said? You're right. You're not equipped. You in and of yourself don't have what it takes, but I've given you my power. My authority. You can do whatever I call you to do because I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I've given you the power to accomplish it. So whatever it is that God's calling you to today, listen, whatever it is, no matter how big it is, no matter how scary it might be, God is saying, you've got my power to go and do what I've called you to do. Quit doubting and just believe. Somebody in here needed to hear this. He said, with my power, here's the word, nothing will be impossible. Did you hear what I said? Nothing will be impossible for you because you walk in God's supernatural power. We have the rest of God because we rest in his finished work. We rest in his provision. We rest in his protection. And we're resting in his power. Would you stand with me? How many of you have been going so hard that you're not sure if you can continue? Man, I need a break. You deserve a break today, so get out and get away. I think somebody said that in a commercial. Raise your hands if you need his rest. There's no need to ever worry about anything, including but not limited to your relationship with Jesus. Listen, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you never have to worry, are you okay? If you said yes to Jesus at some point in your life, regardless of what you're done, listen, you're okay. Having financial issues, wondering how you're going to pay the rent, how you're going to pay the bills. I don't understand how it's all going to work, God. It doesn't add up. I'm not sure how it's all going to go down. You know, I'll never forget sitting down with Peggy many, many years ago, and we put all our bills on paper and our income on paper, and our bills far outweighed the income. But we always paid the bills, and we always ate. And I don't know how. You can see I ain't never missed a meal. There's no need to worry. He's our provider. He's our protector. And he's given us the power to accomplish all that he's called us to. Oh, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the men and women of new beginnings, God. Those who are resting in relationship with you, who are saying, God, I trust you to provide. I trust you to protect. And I trust you to give me the power to accomplish whatever you've called me to do. I'll never question you. I'll never disobey. I'll only go where you tell me to go and do what you tell me to do, because I know that you're a good father and that you love me unconditionally, regardless of what I do or don't do. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Bless these people as they go. Let them have a great day this beautiful Sunday in October in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.